This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And make sure all the fans out there listening interact with us on the text line 503-864-6FAN. That's 503-864-6326, man. Make sure you interact with us. Tell us what's going on. Jordan, I think we got at least a couple messages.
One, appreciate it from the 541 on the fan text line. 30 years of Burt Cold running the Blazers. Only 11,951 days since the last Blazers NBA Finals game. And that is something that the Blazers did hang their hats on for quite a while, I think. Right around 2014, 15, like then I think approaching the 40th anniversary of the championship in 2017, they kind of started to like taper off that, which was good. It's like, yeah, let's win another one, guys.
I mean, well, they did make it to a conference final once. Yes. just a few years ago. That felt good. How good that felt?
It was awesome.
Would've beating nice. Denver and really kind of being responsible for
Four
creating
overtimes.
The monster that is the Denver Nuggets, you know, at that point, because that Blazers team took them.
That was the crazy CJ game.
That was
right?
The crazy CJ game in game seven, when he just, you know, came to save the day for everybody. So good times, man. Good times.
Weren't they?
God, man.
Well, if they would have actually had a roster around Dame, maybe they would have been able to compete in the Western Conference Finals, but I digress.
I mean, hey.
Swept against the Warriors? That would happen? Yes.
Yeah,
it did.
But
we were
the only ones. But,
yes.
it was the Warriors, and I think, was that not the Warriors? Was that the 73-9 year?
I can't remember if that was the KD perfect or not, honestly.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think KD, because I know Draymond wasn't playing, so there was one point where we're like, okay, I think we got a chance.
Doesn't matter.
Beat them.
You got dubbed.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And so the Blazers, things have been pretty bad lately. And looks like there is some light at the end of the tunnel, though. You know, I think a lot of us, whether we like it or not, the team is winning. And my people love it. Clearly, and even in this room, a lot of people don't. It's all good. But we know that somebody is probably not going to be back on this team. And it's probably more than likely going to be somebody that's a fan favorite. Just because you're looking for capital. You're looking for a way to make your team a little bit better. And there's two ways. There's draft and trades, because free agency doesn't seem to work like that here in Portland. So of all the players that we have, who, I guess, are you most confident won't be in a Trailblazers uniform next year?
I mean, he's been killing for us, but Jeremy Grant, obviously, they always say NBA, it's always about timeline, and we have one of the youngest teams. So, I mean, obviously, that's the most logical candidate to not be here, just because, like, his age is so much different than all the people we drafted. And, like, it seems like the next Blazers that are going to take us to, you know, when we finally start winning, like those guys are all like 20, 21, 22. So, I mean, I would say Jeremy Grant. I hear a lot of Anthony Simons as well. But they add so much. Like, I think they're very important parts of this team. And if we had been winning at the clip that we, the last month and a half, if we just hadn't had such a slow start, I think, to this season, it would be a totally different narrative. If they were winning 7 or 8 out of 10 all season, it would be different. But just that slow start. But I would say Jeremy Grant for sure, just because of his age, not because of how he's played. I think he might be our best 3-point shooter, to be honest. He's the only one sniffing 40% or close to it, I think.
I think he takes as many, but I still think Ant is our best 3-point shooter.
Oh, it's close. No, yeah, Anthony Simons 36.8% and Grant's 36.6% from three.
Yeah.
So it's 0.2% is different. So he's one of our best shooters. Like you said, he's been playing defense better lately.
That just says how streaky Jeremy is, because you just don't see him. Feel like I look at a lot of box scores where it's 1 for 4 from 3-point land. But wow, that's kind of surprising.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, Jeremy Grant is owed $32 million next year and then 34 the year after that.
Yep.
And to end the player option in the 27-28 season with worth 36, almost 36 and a half. Oh, who wants to take on that contract?
Yeah,
and I think that's the thing about Jeremy Grant's, you know, he signed 5 years, $160 million. Like, now you've got almost, you know, almost $100 million of that left. Like, who wants that contract, you know, right now? And I think that's where the Blazers are. A little over $100 million left on this contract. Like, I think that was the issue why they couldn't trade him during the trade deadline.
Well,
it was like, who can take on that money?
It wasn't just that. It was that they weren't getting the offers that they thought they wanted. They turned down, and I believe it was from the Lakers, a first-round pick and a player this last summer, so almost a year ago now, for Jeremy Grant. They wanted two first-round picks. They couldn't get it.
That's fair.
And then they basically, you know, at this point in the trade deadline, looked at what they were getting, offers for their players, and were like, you know what? Yeah, we're probably going to have to push this cup down the road or kick this can down the road again. And then, all right, so we're not going to trade Jeremy Grant because we gave up our opportunity to get the best value for him. So what do? You probably, if you Blazers fans like me want to see a deal this summer, it's probably not going to happen. I think you're going to have to wait until next year's trade deadline, unfortunately, because that's when you've got Anfernee Simons' contract expiring. He's making almost $28 million. Robert Williams is coming off the books, $13.5 million. And even if these guys are injured, you know, say worst case scenario, and I don't want it to happen, but Ant Simons goes down for the season, there are teams that still want to get money off the books and take on expiring contracts.
Absolutely.
So other than those two, I think DeAndre Ayton next season, he's the final year of a max deal, which is $35 million. That's an easy one to say. So outside of those two or three, I would probably, you know, pick Matisse Thybulle. And is that a player option?
Is he still on the team?
He's
no freaking kidding. No, that's a player option. And he's going to be back on that player option because he hasn't played all year. No one's going to pay him $11.5
million.
No. So I would say he'll be on the block as well. But I would say DeAndre and Anfernee are the most likely to get traded.
I would hate to see Anfernee Simons go. I think he is really can be a cornerstone of this team. I mean, I look at the way he saves the day when we need a bucket at the end of the game. There's no shot that he's not afraid to take. You know, like and I'm okay with it. If he shot that, it means that he saw something that we didn't see. Cool. Mm-hmm. Pull up, bro. Every single time. And it goes in. It'd be different if he was Jordan Poole and he was just, you know, chucking shots all day that didn't go in and you're averaging 14 points a game or 19 points a game. Nah, he's sharing the ball with two other young scorers and he's still getting his, you know, most nights. And when we need a bucket, there's nobody on the team I want to go to more than Anfernee Simons.
Yeah.
And so I think those guys, especially you're talking about clutch scoring in the fourth quarter, those guys aren't a dime a dozen. They are really not. Like, those guys are special. Of all the guys in the NBA, there's only a handful of them that you're super, super comfortable at the end of the game taking and making that shot, and Anfernee Simons is one of them ones.
He's got a little Dame in him, kind of.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's like that sidestep that, you know,
even the moves itself,
right?
I'm talking about when you get to the end of a game, like, you can, if he's shooting a shot, I feel confident it's going to go in.
Who did he practice with every day at practice?
Exactly.
Who was the shoot? They had the same shooting coach.
Yep.
They had the same routine. Like, that Damian Lillard was his big boy.
You can
know
see
what I'm saying?
It.
That was his dog and everything.
It.
And so, yeah, now you can absolutely see it in his game. And so, I think of all those guys you mentioned, Jordan.
Yeah,
Anfernee is the one that I would be like, we'll regret that. With Ayton, I don't think we're going to regret that. With Thybulle, we're definitely not going to regret that. But with Anfernee Simons, I think that's going to be one that we're going to regret. He's going to go somewhere and become
big,
like,
cornerstone.
Jermaine O'Neal,
yep.
And we're going to be like, why the F did we let him go?
Is there some world that you see the Blazers committing then like $50-55 million a year to him? Because that, when his let's just look at the, okay,
I do.
You know what, you want to keep him in Portland,
right?
So the scenario is, here at the end of 2026 a season, you've got to pay Anfernee Simons probably a four-year deal at $50-55 million. That's going to be around the max. And is he worth it? Probably. He's a good scorer in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a defender to get money if you're a scorer. CJ got a big contract from Portland, and New Orleans was happy to take that on and still pay
and
him.
He's better than CJ.
Exactly. Anfernee's, I would say, is a much better clutch scorer. And in today's NBA, he's probably slightly underpaid. So at that point, under the apron system that the NBA is under now, you basically, as the Blazers, are locked into paying Ant and maybe one other player. So like Shaden, Like, if he explodes and you got best case scenario hopping there, you're able to give him a ton of money. But then what happens if Donovan pops? You're not able to give him that money that you need to keep him. You've basically locked yourself into, in the NBA now, two guys. And the Blazers have to choose very carefully because they are the team that can only add with these ancillary trades, not through free agency, through draft picks. And it's just the big question of whether or not you want to say this is our guy for the next 5 years after you've asked the fans to kind of wait in purgatory for the last four.
Absolutely. I think also the results next year are going to determine a lot of that as well. You know, was that a fluke? This little 10 out of 11, the 4 out of 5. Like, can you actually sustain that and beat good teams, right? Like, do they make another step next year? I think that's going to determine a lot of, like, who stays, who gets traded, who ends up getting signed to those big contracts. Because if we have another mediocre season next year, like, I could definitely see Ant moving on. But if we have a great season, we can get somewhere 6th, 7th, 8th seed, I could see us paying him that kind of money, you know, depending on what happens next year. So just depends on if these runs are going to be sustainable. And like I said, we won't know that until next year, I don't think so.